Ladies first. Go ahead, Shavonda.
Hey. Hi, everyone. I am Elder Shavonda Dixon. I hail in Richmond, Virginia. What do you want me to tell them? Like everything or a little
whatever
bit?
You want to tell them, bitch.
I'm a single mom of two beautiful children. I'm an entrepreneur. I love the Lord, and I'm happy to be here tonight with my peeps, with my family.
Thank you for joining.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey, hey. You want to go? You want me to go?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, my name's Norris. I'm from Racine, Wisconsin, and yeah, I'm a preacher and all of that, and have been for about 10 years. I'm 28 years old. And yep, that's about all I got. That's about all I got. So if you want to find out more, you can look into it. My story is too long. So, and it's still going. Still going.
That's okay. Yeah. We're going to come back with your story. We're coming back with your story.
For sure.
Yes. I'm Pastor O. My name is Onesimus. I'm 38, just had a birthday in March. Listen, I'm single. I'm trying to get my applications out there. I'm ready to get off these single streets. It's been real. Listen, the Lord has done a mighty work in me. I'm ready. Listen, getting my money together. But no, on real tip, pastor church here in Smyrna, Georgia, metropolitan Atlanta. It's called Believer's Example Church. I love God with all of my heart. I just want to see, really honestly, y'all, I want to see everybody win in this season. That is my goal for the body of Christ. I want to see the church win in every area, and not just for us to be, you know, financially winning or winning in our, you know, other careers and different things. Let's win as singles. And if you're ready to get married, let's win in these marriage streets too. So, yeah, I'm excited about being on tonight and sharing with you guys, and hopefully us getting some wisdom and some knowledge from God as to how to successfully navigate this season, that it won't be a treacherous season or a burden. Singleness is not a burden. So, yeah, we're getting on tonight. Let's get into it.
Say that again, because
it ain't no burden.
When I talk about it on TikTok, they always talk about, man, when God need to hurry up, like, it's just like, this too much. I've been praying and nothing. I think people are looking at it wrong. I think people are looking at it wrong. And those are the ones, too, who are begging God and your credit jacked up. You know what I mean? Who are begging God and you know, like, you ain't right. You know what I'm saying? You don't even pray, and you want to be a praying wife? So... yeah.
And you bring that baggage into the marriage. Let me tell you, on the other side of just doing a lot of counseling, if you don't fix that single life, you carry that trash into your marriage. And I'm telling you, it's so many people in the body of Christ in these days trying to get out the marriage. They trying to get out because they finding out it ain't what I thought it was, you know, not being ready, not being prepared. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, let's jump into the first question. This question says, do kingdom men still exist, and what hope is there for single parents with children? Wow.
Well, I'll let the men speak for the men. I can speak on the single parent piece. So y'all go first, and then I'll just wrap it up.
Go ahead, Bishop Norris.
You let me go.
I'm going to let you start first.
Chief I'll be Apostle. Looking for you to go.
Go ahead, Chief Apostle.
Oh, man. Of course there is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, the best hope for you would be to stop being saved. But of course, God has something for you in this, you know, new life that you're going into, that you're in now. You know, there's many kingdom men. I just think it's a lot of factors into it. I think that sometimes people aren't putting themselves in position to be found.
Yeah.
All you go to is church, Bible study, work, and home. So you never go to the gym, you don't go to the movies or like anything like that. So like, it's like if your dating pool is a small hotel pool, then yeah, like you might not find what you're looking for, but you gotta be personable, go out there. The Bible says, if you want friends, to show yourself friendly.
Come on.
Now it's talking about in the terms of friendship, that type of relationship. But if you want a mate, you gotta show yourself as available. There's plenty of people that will reach out, that will come to you. And I think the one that God has for you will find you, and you'll find him. But you got to go explore. You got to go test things out. Dating is something that should be done. I'm sure that question will come up later. There's a kingdom way to date, to go after a mate. But like, you need to like be open, conversate with people. Don't be so shut off. Don't play extremely hard to get if it's something that interests you. Now, if it's Bubba from 10th Street, yeah, play very hard to get. But like, you know, I think it's a lot of factors that go into it. But of course, there is many kingdom men out here. God is never losing. I'm gonna say that and stare at the camera. God is never losing. There's never been a time in history God was low on the scoreboard.
Right.
There are people out there that love God, strong, good men that love God. Yeah. They just probably don't see you.
And then sometimes God be hiding us. I feel like there's certain seasons God had a bag over my head. Like nobody was even speaking to me at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Come on, bag.
It's true. It's so true.
I mean, there was a season of my life where I was absolutely hidden. It was like 8 or 9 years. I think I shared this last time we were on.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not a mumbling word. Do you hear me? Not none. Not an eyelash, not a wink, a nothing.
Yeah.
But it was good for me. I was in my process of healing. And so if I had connected with anyone at that time, I would have mishandled that relationship. So I agree with Norris in the sense of, you know, you can't, or you could, I mean, you know, your husband might knock on the door, but 9 times out of 10, that's not going to happen. I think you should absolutely put yourself out there. However, I think that it's more important to be found in purpose. Because when you're found in purpose, I mean, we can talk all day long about the story of Ruth, because that's my go-to every single time. She happened upon a field where Boaz was. She was found in purpose, on purpose, doing her purpose. And so I don't think you have to manipulate the process or try to make things happen by going to the, I don't know, whiskey bar or whatever it is that they do these days, hookah joints and all that other kind of stuff. I think that you, you know, you just find yourself doing the thing, the will of the Father, and being obedient to where he tells you to go, doing what he tells you to do. I think a lot of times we don't fact check with him first. Yeah. We just do things and we don't pray about it. We don't ask God for direction. And that's where we tend to get in trouble. As a single parent, can you just ask that question one more time? So I want to make sure that I answer it specific to how it was asked.
Do kingdom men still exist, and what hope is there for single parents with children?
Okay, so God is not slack concerning his promises, and he's not lacking anything, right? Yeah. And so until you are found, if this is a woman who asked the question, until you are found, you should continue to allow God to lead and guide you concerning your children. I think that it's a beautiful thing when you are pursued by someone who embraces your family aspect and dynamic, and is interested in that just as much as they're interested in you. That's extremely important. I would not take it as a situation where you might look at it as a negative, because how God orchestrates things, it's just one more thing that you know in terms of your standards and criteria that this person will have to meet concerning your interests and concerning who you are. So if they are not aligning to what you would view as someone who could be the head of your household, for example, then they're just not the one. So I wouldn't look at it as a negative if you meet somebody and they're not interested in kids. That's just not the one for you. It's just another way that you're able to determine by process of elimination who is not. Because if it's not them, then you just continue doing what you're doing. And God will, you know, reveal whoever that person is to you. But it's not an issue. I mean, you shouldn't see it as a negative. You know, just live your life, embrace your destiny, love on your children, teach them the right way to live holy and a sanctified life, and everything else will fall into place.
I just want to tag on just really quick to what Norris said. I think sometimes if, like you said, if your pond is small, if you're at a church and they only got five brothers and you and that ain't none of them it.
All of them losing hair.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Then find another ministry that may have a larger singles ministry, you know, or church that has a conference, a singles conference. There's so many single conferences just to not necessarily to sell yourself, but just to position yourself in front of other eyes. Because if you're in the same, you're looking at the same people every week and week after week, and it's like, that ain't it. They're not going to change, you know? So if you know that ain't it, you know, at least put yourself in a position where you can be seen by other people, you know, especially if you're in a larger city like Atlanta. I mean, there's so many singles conferences here. There's so many singles gatherings here, you know, go out. And some people, they don't want to take that risk of going out, but, you know, go out, you conduct yourself in a godly and holy manner, but you got to put yourself in a different.
I want to clean that up though.
It's dangerous to date in Atlanta.
I hope that, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're not saying leave your church because men are there. That's not what you're saying, right?
No. I'm saying,
okay, so like I just want to make sure I don't want somebody to misunderstand what was being said, right?
The social events are right.
Social events, put yourself out there, but make sure you have your cover. And the reality is, women, let me just tell you, your husband may not be at the church you attend.
And
you
not.
Just have to, I don't think mine is.
Yeah.
Listen, and you are
80% chance.
My situation. So the reality is, you just have to stay open. And I agree with what you said. Oh, just, you know, go to those events where it cultivates an atmosphere where you can be seen with like-minded believers and, you know, conduct yourself according to the will of God and, you know, make sure you mingle and all that kind of stuff. Be friendly. Don't be mean in the face, but experience those things. Don't just be closed off in your church and not do anything else. Obviously pray about everything, but I just want to make sure that I clean that up so people didn't misunderstand what you were saying.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't leave your house. Don't leave your house.
Many people need to know how to engage without being sexually active as a Christian. Tell folks how to date while setting and keeping their own boundaries. That's good.
I think certain conversations should be off limits, right? I don't think it's appropriate for sex to come into the conversation ever. I mean, not unless you're in premarital counseling and y'all discussing how things are going to work out when you're married. But outside of that, it shouldn't even be a part of the conversation. You should be talking about your interests, things that you like real life things like movies or books or the scripture you just read last night. Just be a human being and just be normal, right? And I think that as long as you keep that level of boundaries set and don't allow for things to be said, or, you know, people sometimes with certain people, they're going to test the waters. They're going to try you, see how far you will go if that's what they're into or if that's what they're interested in. So you just have to, you know, judge the spirit by the spirit and see if it's really of God or not. But if that's where the conversation leads, then that's your answer right there. If that's not who you are, that's not what you're trying to do, then you shouldn't entertain it.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that's powerful to me, because how I've always known, well, just in that's probably the wrong way to say what I was going to say. When it was somebody that I was really interested in, it made me very, very happy to think of them and not think sexual of them. Because mm-hmm. that was a struggle of mine. So like I knew, like, it was kind of my green light in a way to go further if, like, I just wanted to be around you. And I felt like that was off guards with you. Now, not to say that, you know, you wouldn't be physically attracted to the one that you want to be with. I would encourage you, please don't be with somebody you're not physically attracted to.
Facts.
Because you're going to have to get married one day. And God is not going to ever take away your sexual desire. His desire is that you rule over it, that you subdue it. Because when you get married, you're going to need it. Especially if you're a woman and you with a guy that has, you know, guys apparently want it all the time. So you're gonna need that later on. But that shouldn't be the leading factor. That shouldn't be a part of the top five leading factors, in my opinion, when, like, it's somebody you're really interested in. That all the other interests, this is just my 28-year-old opinion, and I got my whole story. If you follow me, you know me. That your interests actually lead to a better sex life when it all comes down to it. If you're attracted to them mentally, if you're attracted to them interest-wise, if you guys can have hour-long conversations about everything in the world and the connection is strong and all those things, when the time comes for that other level of intimacy when you're married or anything like that, I believe that gets better because you are connected in a deeper way. If your primary connection is just sexual with the person, and if sex was gone, the conversation gets dry, you don't even know what you like anymore, all those things, that's a clear indication that you need to run the other way. But find somebody that is attracted to you in every type of level, and let that come as an afterthought. Oh, well, that would be not, you know, let it be a, oh, well, yeah, I never thought about that like in that way. I'm just really interested in you. Like, I'm stimulated by our conversation.
Yeah.
Mentally, I'm stimulated by our connection spiritually. I love the way that you connect with God. I love the way that you worship. I love the way that you just talk with me about scriptures. If it's a spiritual way, I love the way that we can connect on basketball. I love how I could bring you to the game and, like, we can really connect. Like, you know, those are things that I like personally, just like me. Like, I would love to be with somebody that's like a friend before I look at them as something else.
Yeah.
Cause I know where I come from. And I know once that line is crossed, it's hard to deal with that. There's a scripture. I'm gonna shut up. There's a scripture in the Song of Solomon. I read it years ago when I was younger. It said, "Don't awaken love before it's time."
Wow, that's
good. Awaken love before it's time. Find that scripture. But it says that, and I believe when certain desires and things are wakened up before it's time, it's hard to put that beast to sleep.
Yeah.
It's hard to bring that thing under subjection. So don't even tiptoe into that. I've actually never even heard the way Shivana just said it. I've never heard that said in that way, but it makes perfect sense to me because that's what I've looked for when I would look for a wife, when I would look for somebody like that. It makes perfect sense because it lines up with the scripture. Don't awaken love before it's time. And don't let the world make you think that you got to test it before you get it.
Thanks.
This is why I said, if you have all those other connections, that is going to be fine. You communicate and work that out. That's going to be fine. You want to be connected on every level because one day that's not going to be that good anymore. You're going to get old. Like, he's going to need to take pills. You're going to need to do plots or whatever you got to do. Like, that's not going to sustain the marriage. When you see them old couples, they're not having a wonderful time because their sex life. They're having a wonderful time because they're friends. You see them old couples in the commercials and stuff. They are friends. They enjoy each other. Like, I enjoy you. I enjoy watching a movie with you. I enjoy these conversations. Find somebody that you enjoy, that you connect with on all those levels. And because you're a Christian, find somebody that meets you at your level. If you're a man, find somebody that's strong spiritually. If you're a woman, I think you should find somebody stronger than you.
Yeah.
Spiritually. You should never disciple your guy. That's if good. You have to disciple him, God is not giving you a Build-A-Bear. if you got to disciple him, if you got to help him love Jesus, that ain't it. Because he has to be the head of your home spiritually. Even if you better at finances, even if you better at this and whatever, he got to be able to lead it spiritually and say, okay, God says we're going to do this. And you got to trust that. You can't trust that if he don't even read his Bible.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you trying to get him to learn who Moses was.
I can't with you.
He ain't it. He ain't it. That's just, oh, I ran it. I'm sorry.
I do want to just add just one thing, and I agree with everything that you said, Norris. But the reality is this. We're not saying that you're not going to be attracted to someone sexually, right? Like, you may look at them and be like, listen, if I wasn't this, but what we are saying is that you don't entertain it. You don't go there. Those are conversations you take to the Lord and say, listen, God, I need you to keep me, because if you don't keep me, I won't be kept.
Right.
That's not a conversation you take to them and say, listen, this is, I want to hop your bones right now. You don't do that. And so it's more about, you want to be honest with yourself, you know? So I don't want the people to misunderstand what we're saying. We're not naive in thinking that you're not going to be attracted to someone that you're with. I mean, it's a natural thing. It's a beautiful thing. But what we are saying is that you got to check that at the door and make sure that you lay your flesh down, whether it be through, I'm a firm believer in fasting, praying, seeking the word of God, praying some more, and then have accountability. You know, if you have a good friend, someone that you trust, where you can say, girl, let me just tell you, he was wearing X, Y, and Z. And so they can say, girl, don't do it. You know, all those things are ways that you stay kept. And that you remain at a place of integrity and respect.
Let me speak to that, because
Go ahead.
Because I think that's like key. That was going to be the first thing I was going to say. Accountability is everything. And one of the things I learned is that accountability is not for after you mess up.
Hmm.
Accountability is for before.
Yep.
Like, I call you before and all those things. But all of those measures come up, like, so that you are kept, so that you're not found sleeping. And I went through a season last year. Well, I don't think it's a secret right now, but I have a newborn baby boy.
Congratulations. Very
beautiful baby boy.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I got a beautiful baby boy. He's right here on my screensaver. Little light skinned boy. He's beautiful, but he's a newborn. I'm not married. I've never been engaged or anything of that nature. So I had my baby out of wedlock because of a season I was in last year. That quite frankly was just me trying to handle things on my own and like trying to be like, okay, you know what? I messed up. I'm gonna get up by myself. I'm, you know, let me deal with this alone. Let me do all these different things. And I had to really get to a place where I had more accountability than I ever had before. Where I had more people in my ear than I ever had before, where I had more people have access to me more than I ever had before, because I had a season where I was winning. I was good. Celibate. I'm doing it. I'm fine. I didn't think that was even my struggle. I conquered addiction. Addiction was my struggle. I was addicted for years. Ain't smoked a blunt, ain't done nothing crazy. But I didn't know that there was other things in me lying dormant that was waiting on me to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Just waiting on me to go to sleep. When the Bible talks about David, pay attention to this. When the Bible talks about David, it says that at a time when kings were supposed to go to war, David stayed back and chilled.
He sure did.
And then went on the rooftop.
Bathsheba.
Right. Women were known to take baths on the rooftop. That's not abnormal. What was abnormal was him up there perusing and watching them. That was like their version of pornography.
Mm.
So while he's up there, he's watching. Remember, this is at a time where king's supposed to go to war. David's the best fighter of them all. It was at a time where he's supposed to be just doing what he's normally supposed to be doing. He was tired, and he had been winning so much. He was like, I'm going to go chill. And opened himself up to a moment. And because he opened himself up to that moment, he had to keep doing things to cover up the moment. That took him deeper and deeper into it. He gets her, sleeps with her. She comes back, says she's pregnant. He's like, shoot, let me do this to cover this up. Let me do this to cover this up. And he goes deeper and deeper in sin until he just takes accountability 9 months later.
Yeah.
It took him 9 months. So in 9 months, he was still worshiping, all that stuff. But he wasn't fully submitted and taking accountability to what was going on. He had to confess, fasted for 7 days, all those things, then got up and worshiped and got right back to it. Because it was time to just recognize, okay, I did this. I got to live with what I've done and then walk out this process. When we go to sleep and we're not sober, we open up ourselves to these seasons of crazy, chaotic stuff. So, you know, when it comes from me, when I say, please focus on something else other than the sexual part, is because you might ruin what God is trying to make special.
Yeah.
You might destroy something that God is trying to make special. That's not my testimony. That's not, you know, my thing. But I've seen so many times how the devil can pervert a God thing.
Yeah.
And make it something it shouldn't be. I'm walking out my process. I'm fine. It takes a baby 9 months to get here. People forget that. And he's like, yeah, he's like crazy for nine. No. 9 months. I was walking out of process and really, you know, handling things privately because I had to, because the way life is now. But you've got to really protect your heart. You got to protect your life. What decisions you're about to make now is going to affect life. Now, God could turn these things around, but you got to turn around what you're doing. So I don't care how hard it is right now. What's harder is having to correct the stuff that you've done.
Yeah,
that's harder than waiting. Like I'm in a hard season. That's hard. It's not as hard as you think to say no. We're making it that much harder because we want so much. We desire it so much. We're longing after it so much. I need you to think about the pain you finna cause. Like, I want you to just think about the future pain.
The embarrassment. I mean, and I have a very similar testimony to yours, Norris. That's why I believe that we have kindred spirits in that way, because I literally was licensed to be a minister and fell like 2 days before my ordination. And I was celibate for 9 years. Ooh. This was years ago.
I feel that.
And
I
remember the moment I fell, and I believe that this is something for somebody out there tonight. I remember the moment that I fell, and I asked the Lord, how did I get here? Like, I was good. Sex, like you said, sex wasn't even my thing. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it. I thought I was strong enough to handle that level of temptation on my own because I hadn't struggled with it before. I had never seen anything like that. And it was like, well, how did I get here? And it was little by little. It was, you know, instead of fasting on every third Monday, it was, well, you'll go out this Monday. Or if it was the small things, it's the little leaven that leavens the lump. And I found myself at a place where, I mean, I was embarrassed. I was not, if anybody would have told you Shavonna was the one who got pregnant outside of wedlock, they would have been like, you are lying. Ain't no way. She just too straight up and down. But I fell. And it was because I felt like I had to handle it on my own, and I didn't think that I had anybody that I could talk to about what I was struggling with. And if you don't have anybody else, you have your leaders, period. And I love my leaders because, and right within the midst of all of this that ended up happening to me, I got pregnant by somebody that was in the church, and they ended up not being who they said they were going to be. As a matter of fact, they ended up still being married to someone else. And I didn't know that. It was a mess. And I beat myself up for so many months because I was like, you know, how could you be so stupid? You're on the top. You know, you are this woman of God, and you allowed this joker to just, you know, throw all of you. I just thought my life was ruined. And, you know, here all these years later, my son is amazing. God is a restorer. I don't even think I wasn't even 9 months before I was restored back to my place in ministry. But it took some time to really go to God and repent and to get to the root cause of how did I end up here? And just know that, find your place of accountability. I just really feel that for somebody. Find someone you can talk to. If you don't have nobody else, inbox me. Trust me when I tell you, because what you need is someone that's going to tell you the truth. And you can't be so embarrassed about your struggles that you don't allow someone in that can speak life into you and to help you. And we're here tonight as examples to say, hey, he can restore you. But you don't have to go where we went.
You don't.
you don't have to go there. That's my story. God restored me. But if I had just made the conscious decision, if David just didn't go on that roof and he was in war like he was supposed to be, I was just served the night that I fell, I was supposed to be answering the phones on at midnight at the church, answering the phones on the Word Network. And instead of me going to my assignment, I went to the hotel. Well, what you think was going to happen, Shavonda?
What you think? That's real.
It's just those things that God has you in, those places he has you in. It's protecting you. That covering is so important. Your servitude, your work, the entrepreneurship, the school that you're going to, the places God has you volunteering, those are places that are protecting you. And so don't despise those moments where God has you, because he knows what's best for you.
And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But you know, like you just said, the accountability is beyond, it's beyond what you can like understand, like as far as how it helps you. Like God literally sent people to my life to save my life. I don't think people really comprehend the place I was really in.
No.
I never thought I'd be doing that. I never thought I'd be there. And I was never the person to talk about people. Me? I was always the grace guy. I was always the mercy guy. I was always, well, no, they ain't like that, man. Stop talking about them. I was always that guy. I didn't think I deserved any mercy. I'm like, they finna be ruthless with me. Like, I'm finna lose everything. At the exact time when that happened, my social media blew up.
Wow.
So that happened. Social media blows up. When I say blow up, I mean blow up. Like it went up fast. I had prominent preachers who I watch DMing me like, hey man, da 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 da. And the whole time in my mind, I'm like, I'm literally going up just to fall in front of everybody. Like none of these people are gonna be with me when this come out. This is it. So let me ride it out. And there was not a day from July. Yep. From July up until October, there was not a single day I didn't contemplate suicide. There was not a single day, really hear how I'm saying it, that I didn't contemplate it. Like I'm talking about sit and think, all right, if I do this, my daddy would be okay. My mama would be okay. Like they'll be hurt for some time, but like I could do this in a way. Like the devil's just like coaching me into getting out of here.
Oh yeah, he know how to do it.
He and sure do.
Man.
Suffering silence.
And when I say God sent people to me, like when I say God sent people, he sent people to me. There was one man, if I said his name, a lot of y'all probably know him, but a prominent pastor and just a great man. He connected with me. It was just God the way it happened. And he would write me every day. Are you good? What's going on now? Like, how's this going? You ain't doing nothing stupid, are you? You ain't over nobody's house, are you? You know, you know, all those things. Like just own me, you know? And I wasn't doing nothing crazy, but I'm like, thank you. Like, you know, thank you for being there. And I just finally opened up to him in October. And I said, man, you know, honestly, there hasn't been a day where I haven't thought about killing myself. I said, there has not been a day since that day. I said, it looked like I'm fine because I'm still making reels and preaching in places and all that stuff. But I'm doing that in preparation. I was preaching every message like it was my last because I swear it was about to be my last.
Wow.
This is deep. A lot of this stuff I've never said before. Don't know why I'm saying it now. But he told me, he was like, I text him that and he texted me back something that freed me. It's weird, but it freed me. When I sent that text message to him, he said, suicide, Negro, please. And he didn't say Negro.
Right.
He said, suicide, Negro, please. We got this.
Sorry, said.
Suicide, Negro, please. We got this.
Holy Ghost.
I felt something break off of my mind. Jesus. I'm trying not to cry. That just hit me. I felt something break off my mind. As crazy as that sounds, that broke up my mind. I really realized I was not by myself. Now, mind you, my family was with me. Everybody's just been encouraging and all these things. But you really do feel isolated because I'm like, man, I'd embarrassed everybody. I done messed everything up. You know, I done hurt y'all. I'm sorry. But he said, Negro, please, we got this. You ain't finna do that. Like, the devil's not even that strong. That's how he was talking to me. That's how he was talking to me. And that thing broke off of my mind. That spirit of suicide, that spirit of shame, all those things broke off my mind. So when I came out with it months later, my son was born on March 18th. When I came out with it, I came out with it strong, with like no shame, no nothing. And I had to remember, oh, it's fresh for some people.
Yeah.
I've had friends and people that were friends and people that were like connected, kind of like move away and all those things, which I expected is fine.
Really?
I had people. Oh, yeah. Oh yes.
Oh,
people are different.
Leave where I was.
Man.
Oh yeah. Man. They were like,
they can't comprehend that.
Yeah. But for such were some of us, right?
Such were some of us. They can't comprehend that though. And God had to prepare me for that because I expected that from everybody. And then I had the same man preach to me. And he said, all that grace and mercy you've talked about in your life, why do you think you can't receive that?
Yeah.
Like, why do you think everybody get that but you? Like, but nah, you can't love me again, though. Like, nah, I done did too much, God. I'm good. And so all of that broke off of me. But I, you know, I had people that was like, man, they said, you know, behind closed doors, you're going to lose everything. All this stuff. Rehearsing a lie of the enemy that tried to get me killed in the summertime. And God has strengthened me and fortified me so much. It threw people off because I came out with no shame, no none of that. My son is a blessing. My baby is a blessing. The devil tried to kill him coming out the womb. The umbilical cord wrapped around his neck twice and his heart rate started to drop.
Jesus.
And I was preaching at the speed when her water broke and all that stuff. I had to speed and go to where he was, but the devil was trying to kill him in the same way he tried to kill me. The umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, in the same way he tried to kill my daddy. The umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, tried to kill him, tried to kill me, and he tried to kill my son. And my son came out perfectly fine. And so people were congratulating and all those things. And I had people get upset, like, you know, you wrong and da 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 da. Man, I already dealt with that.
Right.
I've already went through that in private. Anything that I would do now publicly would just be for you, not for my health, not for my restoration, not for me. It would be to satisfy you so that you could be like, okay, he's good now. He done been beat enough. Good. Let him go out and be what he's called to be now. No,
the reality is repentance happens behind closed doors. I remember when, and I just feel strongly to share this with someone.
Yeah.
I remember when I found out that I was pregnant with my son. And by then things started to unravel. I was engaged with the gentleman who I got pregnant with from the church and all this other kind of stuff. Not bad mouth to him. It is what it is. But I had made up in my mind, there is absolutely no way I can have this child. I'm not going to bring another child into this world. I had my daughter when I was 16 years old. And so now I'm in my 20s. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to have this child. No way. And so I was at the abortion clinic. I want to help someone tonight who might be struggling with this.
Yeah.
I was at the abortion clinic and they took my blood. There's some things that you have to do. And my next step was to go into the room. And I never heard the Lord more clear than I heard him then. It said, Shabonda, don't do it.
Jesus.
Don't do it. And I went to make another move and the Holy Spirit said, don't do it.
Jesus.
Now, I don't know if you guys have seen the reels. There was this Holy Ghost encounter that happened in my church. And my 12-year-old son is standing on the pulpit preaching, telling people to believe God.
That's your son?
That was my son.
Oh, my God.
And the Holy Spirit said to me in that moment, can you imagine if you had made that decision.
Wow.
Jesus.
There is no thing that you have done, no mistake, no embarrassment, no shame, no failure, that God cannot restore. All things work together for the good. Hear me clearly. You may think it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
You may think you can't recover, but I am a living witness. God restored every area of my shame and still is. Now, as a single parent, is it hard sometimes? Absolutely. Do I have to, you know, do certain things to make sure things are straight? Absolutely. But mm-hmm. God has been faithful to me. And so I just want to share that with someone on tonight. It does not matter what type of mistake you've made. No, God does not care. He doesn't view us like men views us.
Yeah.
He doesn't view us like people do. He doesn't judge us. He understands that whatever it is that you've done, it's going to turn around for the good if you just stay with him and hang in there. So I just want to encourage somebody who might say, my life is over. Your life is not over. It's just beginning.
Oh, my goodness.
I promise you.
Hallelujah.
Behold, all things have become new.
Wow. Y'all have blessed me so much tonight. I got a tag on. Yeah, it was so much going on. I got to go Come back on. And jump on a
go few things.
Listen, I just want to say this to you, Norris, as far as that grace. What really just popped up to me about that was seed time and harvest. We only think about that in the context of money. But the scripture says, as the earth remain, seed time. Harvest. That is the universal law of the earth that God instituted when he created the world. And I'm telling you, that same grace you've been sowing, we don't believe that harvest is really coming, because when it comes, it always catches us off guard. Like, oh, wait, that's harvest. I'm telling you, most of the people that watch it, most people in social media that get blasted, that get, watch how they've treated other people in other seasons. You can go back and trace it. Dogging other people out, talking crazy about them. And when their season comes, there's no grace, because that's the harvest of their actions. So I just got to say, brother, that's your harvest. That's that grace that has been extended towards you is the grace that you've sown into other people's life. And what a blessing. And let me tell you what got me so just like, my God, my birthday is March 19th. So I'm like, God is good. You hear me? He works all things together for the good. And I want to go back and just rewind a little bit, because it's so true. You was talking about the winning season. You know, it reminded me of Samson. Samson was winning. He was knocking him out.
He was going back
to Delilah, laying his head in her lap. And it was like, you can't get comfortable in a winning season. Let me tell you, that winning season, the enemy, one thing I've said for years to singles is the enemy is patient.
Yeah,
he's going to wait till you're at the top. He's going to wait till you're doing what you're supposed to do, because it's going to be the most effective. You know, we think about the things of God, the kingdom of God. We think about having an effect or impact. Satan works just the opposite. What's going to have the greatest impact? What's going to be that blow to them? What's going to be that, you know, that's going to take them out right there. So he waits sometimes. And it's so amazing. I remember Bishop Jakes, he got a message, "Can you stand to be blessed?" And he was talking about how I was climbing. I was on New York Times number one bestseller, and at the same time had a daughter that was pregnant. At the same time, you know, mom died. I mean, and he was just climbing at the same time. And he was like, how do you balance the two when God is moving and it seemed like Satan is moving in the opposite direction? And so what you were saying just about accountability, you have to prepare for where you're going. I think sometimes we don't really prepare for what success really looks like. We don't prepare for that season that God is really bringing us into. And we just think, oh, when I get there, then I'm going to build the people that I need. When I get there, it's like, no, build it now. what you believe God is doing in your life and where he's taking you now as single people. Build that, because one day God is going to bring that opportunity to you, and that ain't the time to try to build no house. What does the scripture say? He that buildeth his house on the sand, he built it when the time of storm came, that house fell apart because it wasn't built solid. And so many people are trying to build in the storm. You're trying to build, you already in a relationship, you already have doing crazy stuff, like our sister said, you know, she was supposed to be on them calls, and you know, it's like you getting it, but you know what I mean? You're trying to build that house, and then you fighting, and then the Bible talks about the war that's going on in your members. Now your body's fighting with you, and you know, you got your mind going, the enemy going, all these things, and we've got to prepare ahead of time. I just think that that's so critical. But where you going? What accountability do I need? What would I do if I was well known? Would I still respond the same way? Would I still accept the same things? Would I still go the same places? You got to prepare. So I think that's critical as a single person.
Yeah. And I also think, like, when you're winning, you shouldn't slack up. Like, you should still
slack up.
You should still be worshiping.
Yeah.
That when foundation has to be
secure. Yes.
Yeah.
The things that keep you
are gonna
be the things that keep you. That foundation has to be strong. Yes, it will sustain you. And so the biggest thing that I learned from my situation when I asked the Lord, how did I get here? What in the world? It was little by little. It was the vow of time spent with him that now I'm allowing to be compromised because I'm getting a phone call from Bay. You know, those are the things that you may say, oh, it's not a big deal, but it's little by little. And the enemy, once you give him one opening, he's in the door. And so those things, there are parts of us, and I said this last time, but there are parts of us that should be off limits to everyone else except God. There are certain levels of intimacy that only belong to God. And it doesn't matter where you are, even in marriages, you know, there are parts of you that only belong to God. And the moment you begin to mix and mingle that and compromise that, that's when your defenses are taken down.
Yeah.
And the enemy knew that he couldn't get me straight on. He had to come through the back door because I was fortified. I was prayed up. I was serving. I was in my rightful place. I was doing the things that God had called me to do. I was gaining territory in the spirit. And he was like, oh, if I can just get this little bit. And so like our first date, I was supposed to be on consecration. I'm like, well, I'll just drink tea. I can't eat because I'm fasting. Well, I shouldn't have been on a date. It's like, come on, Shavonda. Do things that make it make sense, you know, but we try to stay so relevant, try to stay so in, try to ensure people understand us. But those things about us that make us peculiar, those are things that are given by God.
Yeah.
And that's not something you should be ashamed of.
Right.
And what I've learned is that whereas before I used to be like, man, I can't do nothing. Now I understand God is protecting me. He's protecting me from a space where the enemy can't penetrate as long as I stay in the will and in the purpose designed by God.
That's good.
I want to just say one analogy, and then we go to the next thing. It almost reminds me of weight loss. You know,
oh God.
Yeah.
If
you think about it in the sense of, I just need to lose 50 pounds, right? When those 50 pounds are over, if you don't have a strategy for a lifestyle change, if you're not changing your lifestyle, guess what's happening?
You're going to get pudgy.
They're coming back. And I think that's what happens a lot of times with us in our single life. We just, sometimes we could just, oh, if I could just get out this season, Lord, if I could just make it through, you know, if I could just make it through this. And then when it's no longer pressure, we slack up. We're not as, because you know, ain't being tempted. I ain't going through nothing. And you don't maintain that standard. And so then your defenses are weakened because you know I ain't exercised that muscle in a long time because I ain't had no challenges. And I think sometimes that's exactly when the enemy comes in, when it's no longer this is the standard for my life.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we're just having standards while we're dating. No. This is standard for my life. This is every situation. This is every relationship. Yes. This is every season, and not just a certain season. Let me just conquer this one season, because after that season is over, those defenses are down. It's so easy for the enemy to come in.
Yeah. Before we go into the next question, I seen somebody in the comments say that, and I'm paraphrasing, they said the world is tumbling. Where is God? Anybody want to speak to that?
God is always winning.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, and this might not be relatable, but I think it's relatable.
Go ahead.
Anytime God gives a word, the devil's job is to give the opposite.
Exactly.
Okay, so if God says he's going to bless your family, I need you to expect your family to get smacked tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. I need, if God says I'm bringing your home together, expect a family argument, expect something that is completely opposite and contrary, because the devil loves to trick people with an opposite picture.
Yeah.
But the only people he can trick is carnal people, not spiritual people, because spiritual people are looking at something differently than the natural. When the world sees chaos, spiritual people see, look up for your help has come.
Mm-hmm.
Look up for your light has come. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, set your eyes on the realities. One version says the realities of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It says to set your eyes on the unseen world, because the unseen made what is seen. And so whenever you get into a space where you're cynical and you're like, oh, everything's going crazy, gas prices, the price of eggs, school shootings, and all these things, you miss what God is actually doing. Yeah, the world is in trouble. You don't live by them.
That's it.
You're in them. You're not of them. So they're in trouble because their source is jacked up.
Oof.
Your source is different. Yes, Egypt is losing their babies. Yeah. Yes, darkness is coming on Egypt. But when you are saved, you live in the land of Goshen. So you don't live in that land. Yeah. Don't be distracted by the cries of the world, thinking that they're the same cries of the church. A lot of times when the world is in praise and in laughter, the church is crying, because we see the opposite mm-hmm. of what the world sees. The reason why I brought up that Egypt example is because when God was sending plagues on Egypt, he wasn't allowing it to hit Israel or where they lived. They lived in the land of Goshen. There was a complete separation. When the Egyptians had darkness fall on them, there was a line where light was coming on the Israelites. When God killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, the Bible says when the Israelites woke up, they were waking up by mama screaming. By daddy screaming. Like they were screaming from their soul, screaming. They didn't hear that and say, oh goodness, our children. That made them say, thank you, God, for your protection.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for covering us. Thank you, God. Like their response to their despair was thanksgiving. You hear what I'm saying? And so when you see the world going in disarray, when you see all these crazy things happening, you need to be more sure in what God is saying and what God is doing.
Yeah.
1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but nothing is going to come near my dwelling. Behold, you will send your angels to keep charge over me and bear me up in their hands.
Yes.
And I won't even dash my foot against the stone. Like that's not a poem. That's like real life.
Right.
Y'all losing y'all jobs. Y'all getting laid off. God has secured me.
Yeah.
Y'all families are under attack. People are dying. God forbid. But my family is protected, shielded. We decree that over ourselves as a family. I want you to decree that and believe that over yourself.
Yeah.
Take on the benefits of being a child of God. It's not just, you're not just saved to go to church. You're protected. Right. David says, don't forget any of his benefits. There's a benefit to being in the kingdom. So you had a world going to hell. God about to make a new one. So this one got to go.
Will you be there?
Will you be there?
Will you be
ready?
God, he's in his word.
Come on. That's
where
God
is. Yeah. So we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are peculiar. We are chosen priests. We are royal priesthood. What we have to understand is that the Bible says very clearly, you can look in the book of Revelations. It talks about how, they're going to be turned over to their own vices, and that they will have reprobated minds, and they'll be lovers of themselves.
Yeah.
None of this stuff is new. You know, the end is coming. The end is near. Yes. But we have to find ourselves and strengthen ourselves in the word of God and in his precepts. Because if not, if you take your eyes off of the word of God, then you will feel the calamity. Right. You know, when he tried to walk on water, what happened? He was fine up until he looked around and saw the winds and the waves. And that's when he fell in. And so what we have to remember is that there is always going to be a dying breed. There's always going to be something happening in the world. But that does not, that's not relevant to us because we are of a different breed. Yeah. And so, you know, we don't have to accept the world standards. We don't have to accept recession. We don't have to accept plagues and, you know, all this other kind of stuff. We just have to stay rooted in the word of God. And what is God saying concerning the matter?
Right. I think that goes to speak to, we have to monitor our intake, what we're listening to, as far as like, are we dwelling on the news? Are we looking at the news more than we're reading the words?
Well, you're going to turn off Fox and CNN now.
Got to.
And meditate on that all day.
2024 coming up. Cut it off.
Got to. And I'm a political science major. So trust me, I love it all. But at a certain point, you have to turn it off because it'll start to, one, desensitize you.
Yeah.
And then two, that ain't Bible. That ain't God. You know, just because that's what the weather is saying. Come on, Elijah.
Right.
Where the rain at?
Right.
Come on.
You gotta turn that stuff off.
Yeah.
You know, because and if you're listening to it, okay, God, what does this mean for me and my house?
Right.
You know, and adjust according to what he says.
Right.
Yeah. And I think too, the scripture talks about the disciples. They said, when shall be the sign of thy coming? You know, and it talks about in the last days, the things that we're seeing, pestilence and earthquakes. And as Norris gave that scripture, he said, look up for your redemption, draweth nigh. These are the signs that Jesus is on his way back.
Listen.
He talked about that time as, you know, the things are setting up for the Antichrist. We'll be out of here. And so things will get worse, but it doesn't pertain to us in the body of Christ. The Bible says the righteous will not suffer with the wicked. Abraham said that. He said that be far from the Lord. So those things don't pertain to us as the body of Christ, but in the world it will get darker. And this is why we have such a need now to really get people saved. This is the hour to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the time to get our family members, our coworkers, our cities born again. But we're in the end of days.
Yep.
And you know what I was thinking about the other day? I'm going to say this and let y'all go. I was thinking about this. I said, you know, in all of eternity, when Jesus comes back, if we are that last generation, can you imagine when we get there and they're going to be like, we were the last generation to welcome back the king? What a privilege to be alive in this season, that we will be the generation that wraps this thing up. What an honor.
Jesus. Okay. That's so heavy. Another, you want to add more to that or?
No.
Another question was, how do you know if the person you're dating is approved by God? I know when he disapproves him.
Trying to tell you, process of elimination.
Yeah. That's such a, man, isn't that the big question though?
But here's the reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does this character say?
That's what, so good.
You know them by their fruit. What is the fruit producing?
Exactly.
That's so good.
You know, and we try to overcomplicate things. And, you know, this goes back to, you know, when people are like, well, I fell in love with this potential. And, you know, what is this fruit saying?
It's that potential.
That it'll get
it's
you.
That potential.
And not to say, like, I've seen, there are so many dynamics in relationships. I'm not going to say that in some cases one might be more saved than the other, or one might know the word more than the other. But it's the posture of the heart that makes the difference. And I can't influence your relationship with God outside of what I have the ability to do. And you see God through me based upon what I'm doing. That's the example. But I can't force what I do on you. That's the decision you have to make for yourself. Right. And if they're not making that decision on their own, then there's nothing you can do to change it. And so what you have to do is pay attention long enough, step back, and watch what their character is saying. Are they just going to church because you're going to church? Are they just fasting because you're fasting? What is their relationship like with the Lord? And people can say it all day long, but you'll learn more by their actions and what they're producing.
Stop ignoring red flags.
Say so, say it sir.
Again. Say it again.
Stop ignoring red flags. And you know the biggest red flag I feel like people ignore? What their spirit says immediately.
Yeah.
Like when you have the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
I don't care who you are.
Listen.
All right. Here's some evidence. Not even speaking in tongues. Evidence of Holy Ghost is that. It's that. You can have a great time. It's so subtle, but it's an unease that hits your spirit.
You don't have peace.
You do not have peace. And the peace of God works like this. It's uneasy peace.
Right.
It's peace that you can't under. Why do I feel peace? It's that type of peace. Like, why do okay. You're gonna be laying out fleeces before God, like, okay, God, well, if it, he just keep okay. Because some of us are so used to it not being it. That it's crazy to feel it, you know, but really pay attention to your spirit.
Here's the reality. The guy that I was dating, when I went to the Lord, because I did, and I said, Lord, should I date him? The Lord was like, no, he ain't it. What threw me off was because I couldn't see it. That's what threw me off. I know what God said, but it wasn't adding up in my intellectual mind. And that's what you got to throw out.
Kill it.
Yes.
Just God saying it has to be enough. And the old folks used to say, you'll understand by and by. Well, baby, did I reveal that? I mean, I could tell y'all stories about how God revealed to me who he truly was, but that was because I needed proof. I didn't need proof. God's word alone was enough, but I didn't listen to that. I had to go walk out the process, and I could have saved myself a lot of heartache and drama if I had just obeyed in the beginning. I couldn't see what God, I'm like, but he loves the Lord and he's a worshiper and he seems to be such a nice man of God. And the Lord was like, and then I was like, well, the Lord told me I shouldn't. And he's like, really? Why would he say that about me? Delilah.
Right.
That's crazy. Right there.
Right.
That's correct. Why would God say that?
Why would God say that about me? Because he knew you was ratchet. That's why.
And one thing I've loved about one thing I think about God that I've really come to understand about hearing the voice of God, to tag on to what you're saying, you have to realize when God is speaking, he's speaking out of omniscience. He's not speaking based on what you know. And so you're talking about an omniscient God giving you information about all knowledge that he knows. He's not in the situation, limited thinking.
That's crazy.
Come on.
When you're like, I don't see it. It's like, you ain't going to see it.
You ain't going to see it. God is speaking
from omniscience.
He's speaking from omniscience. Like, he's all knowing. And I think what we try to do is we try to put our faith against God's omniscience. So we're trying to believe over what God is saying. Well, I'm just going to believe that it's going. No, he already knows what the end is. He already knows what the future is. And so the Bible says that that's one of the first jobs of the Holy Spirit, to show you things to come. In order for the Spirit to show you things to come, he has to already be in your future to know what's coming.
God is not I'm stealing that.
Yes,
ahead,
and I'm a preacher.
I'm gonna credit you in everything, but I swear you're gonna hear that in the reel.
You good?
I promise. That is so good to a preacher. That just blessed
changed
every
my
part
life.
Of me.
Yeah,
that changed my life. Yeah,
man,
it causes me to trust him more.
Yeah,
man.
But
here's the thing. He's not just a
need to know basis,
right?
Certain things we can't even handle.
Can't handle.
That's good.
God will never send you off.
Never.
No.
Never.
I had somebody ask me that, like, will God ever do something like, in, like, he know in the end it's going to hurt you? I said, well, you know, some certain things that are supposed to make you will hurt you. I said, but God will never send you on a blank mission.
Nope.
Yeah. Never.
Yeah. Ever. He will never send you. Ever. When you ask him, he will tell you.
Yeah.
And for some of you, his silence is telling you.
Come on, telling you, you ever
had that friend, and then she come out, you know, her room or whatever, or he come out, hey bro, does this look good on me? And you like, my silence is saying everything, man. I really like her. What did y'all think about her? Like, our silence is speaking. Sometimes God's silence is talking.
Yeah,
but here's the thing,
you already know,
if you're asking the question,
that part right there,
come on,
and you're trying to believe God over something that's not the will of God. You're trying to, I'm just gonna believe that it's gonna be right. No, you know, in your spirit, it ain't right. And that's what I think there was a minister, he wrote this book called Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. And you got to know the difference. It's a powerful book. Fred Price wrote that book many years ago.
Oh, the GOAT.
Yeah, but
the
apostle. It was a powerful message back in the 80s, because sometimes what we think is faith is presumption. We're presuming what God said. We're presuming how God is leading us. And that's not really the leading of God. It's our flesh trying to override. And let me tell you, your will is so strong. The scripture says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And
desperately.
It wants something that your spirit knows ain't the will of God. But
come
because
on.
The desire is so strong, you can try to believe God over what God's will is.
Come on.
Desperate. We say that word so fast. Think about that. Desperately wicked. You ever seen something that's desperately wicked? Like, with my last breath, I'm gonna do something evil. Like, desperately wicked.
Seeing
like, man, your heart is that evil. Like, with everything in it, it's trying to deceive you. Desperately wicked. That's deep. That's deep. Somebody said, please say the book title again.
Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption.
From the Apostle Fred Price.
Yes.
The late Apostle Fred Price.
The late.
Lived a full life.
Someone said, should singles go back to having chaperones on dates regardless of their ages?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Well, no.
I got chaperones. Let me just say.
Group dating is not chaperones.
Group dating is not chaperone.
But I'm going to just tell y'all, some people can't handle it.
That's true.
I
think it depends on the situation. I do. I mean, now,
I think it depends on the person and situation.
Not. I'm grown.
Yeah.
But I know someone. They're happily married. They've been married for about 12 years now. And they're both pastors now. And they had a chaperone. Every time that they went out on a date, it worked for them. So,
well, I guess they knew themselves too. I think that is more
right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think there's no one size fits all.
Yeah.
So for some people, if that's what you got to do to stay, holy, then do what you got to, by any means necessary. Who am I to judge? I mean, just do what you got to do. You know, for me personally, I don't think that it's necessary. It's not something that I would do, but I'm not going to knock you if that's what you feel like you have to do. Go for it.
Here's my only thing about that. Group dating, I think is good. I think it is good to group date, different things of that nature. But at some point, the reason why I would say develop some type of discipline is after you get married, if you don't know how to discipline your flesh.
That's true.
Okay, what happens when she's pregnant and y'all can't get it in for 6 weeks? What you gonna do? You have to learn some type of discipline. You know what I mean? Like you have to learn discipline at some point. Because it's going to be scenarios where, you know, things are going to happen. So at what point do you discipline your flesh? Now, I don't think you need to be in nobody's house. You know, you don't need to be visiting nobody's bedroom. You know, what your bedroom mm-hmm. look like and all, you know, silly mm-hmm. stuff like that. But I think you do have to learn how to be out in public and be disciplined enough to mm-hmm. handle yourself.
Mm-hmm. I want to say this because I gotta go. I got to do another live in like 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah,
13 minutes. But I want to say this too. Maybe you're not ready to date.
That
if, like you need somebody to come with you. Like if you're that, if your flesh is that wild,
yeah.
Like take that season and just get that up under subjection. That's actually what I'm gonna talk about in my live that I gotta do right now. Talking about the spirit of Cain. Now, when I say that, people are like, oh, that's betrayal, you know, going against the brother. Cain's spirit was wild because he never subdued his flesh.
Yeah.
And he didn't do what was pleasing to God. And God told him, hey, if you don't do what's pleasing to me, sin is crouching at your door. It's desirous to have you, but you must master it. Which means I know you had anger and rage on the inside of you, Cain, but I need you to be able to control, master, and subdue that thing, not let that thing control you. Right. If you are not strong enough to handle that, that's a sign that you probably aren't ready for dating.
Yeah,
as you think you are. You're just horny, so you really want somebody to date.
That part right there.
And that's real.
I will say,
told you my story.
I will say that the two people, it was two couples that did this. And I mean, it worked fine for them.
Yeah.
They're fine. They're happily married. They, all of that. So.
And they might not have been flesh out of control people. That might have just been what they felt like they just needed to do.
Right. Yeah.
So like you said, it's no one size fits all. Like it's really, really understand your situation. Now, if your situation is you are out of control.
Right. And you struggle with your flesh. Right. Yeah. You don't need to be dating.
And that don't mean that person ain't the right person for you.
Right.
That just means you're not ready.
You're not ready.
Right. And the right thing in the wrong time can turn that thing into the wrong thing.
Chaos.
Absolutely.
Chaos.
That's good. You know what I mean? If you have to go, you can go. I'm going to ask one more question.
Okay.
Do you need to continue to seek God for guidance while dating exclusively and why?
Yes.
Yes. I'm a answer one more thing and then I'm gonna leave. Yeah, you need to continue to seek God every single day of your life.
Yeah,
for every aspect of your life.
For everything.
Seek God for everything. Maybe you're asking, should I be seeking God when I'm dating exclusively on if this is the right person or whatever? Settle that before you start dating them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that you don't get hurt. Because my testimony is full of, I don't want to feel that again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to feel that pain again. And I don't want to put anybody else through anything. You know, in my situations, I've hurt people, you know, more than I've been hurt because of my hurt. And you don't want to damage anybody.
Hurt people.
Undecided people hurt people. Unclear people hurt people. Yeah. All those things. So you want to be completely sure that this is the one. Excuse my battery. I'm gonna fix it. But you want to be sure that this is the one before you even go into that. If that's what you're seeking God about. But in any case, you're seeking God at every point of your life. Seek God. Seek Him on everything. Do not stop when you start dating. Get more aggressive when you start dating, because you want to make sure that everything you're doing lines up. You're about to pick your life partner. This is about to be the biggest thing you've ever done. Unless you have a child, this is going to be the biggest thing you ever done. So, like, really lock into it, because God ain't interested in you making another decision or having to redo this. And if you do, you do. But let's lock into it. Let's lock into it.
I think one thing Miles Monroe said many years ago that I loved. Please quote him. When you first start in, if you want to say it, dating or collect information, you're here to collect information to
collect
see
data. If,
collect data. Collect data. You know, don't get so emotionally tangled up that, you know, if you find out, you know, 2 or 3 months, like after finding out about this person, now that ain't it. This doesn't line up. You can separate. There's no soul ties there. You ain't all emotionally damaged. You ain't hurting nobody. You leave them whole for the next brother or sister. I think just take those first couple of dates and just collect data. I just want to get to know you. And as you said in the beginning, you shouldn't even be talking about sex. So keep all that carnal stuff, foolishness off the table. Like Nora said, this is the person you're about to spend the rest of your life with. This person is about to attach to your assignment. You have to look at this as an investor.
Oh, God.
This is an investor. So if you know you got a multi-million dollar business and somebody say, I want to be an investor, guess what? You're going to do your homework. You ain't just going to sign up the first Joe Blow. You know what I mean? So I think you need to take that time and really look at what you're building, where God is taking you, and who this person is. Can they fit that? Do they match those things? Do they line up with the word of God? Do they have a prayer life? Do they have a word life? Right. Are they clear about the will of God for their life? And then, you know, let it progress.
I'll just add this. In terms of exclusivity, it's important for you to continue to remain tapped into the Holy Spirit, because something could shift.
Absolutely.
I was engaged to the person that I was going to be married with, it was great. And then things shifted. The texts weren't coming in heavy like they were anymore. The phone calls weren't happening. Like, he was disappearing, you know. And so you have to stay locked into the Holy Spirit, because we are dealing with people who have fleshly desires. And quite frankly, we all make choices and decisions. And so at a certain point, if this person decides to go left and you're not tapped into the Holy Spirit, you might be blinded by the fact that you're saying that this is your partner for life, and you now have taken God out of the equation. And so you're trying to save face to be with somebody because you ain't asked God. Right. So I think that is so important that you continue to remain locked in and have your ear close to hear the will of God. Because when things started to shift for me and my situation, I said, okay, God, I know I'm engaged to be with this person, but I need to know, really, like, tell me what the deal is. And he did, in true God fashion. He showed me. And so
true God fashion.
Yeah, true God fashion. He showed me. So, you know, continue to remain locked in, because even when you're exclusive with someone, because you never know when things are going to shift. And if you're not listening to the will and to the heartbeat of God, you won't be prepared if something or when it happens. You don't want to be left hanging out there. And God always prepares us. Always.
Always. Anytime. I gotta go, y'all.
Go ahead.
Tell me. I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate Love you, brother.
Thank you for being a part. Tell them where they can follow you, how they can stay connected to you before you go.
Yeah, please. I'm Norris Johnson II, which is the second, Norris Johnson II, on all social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. My main platform is probably Instagram. My second main one probably is TikTok, if you want to follow me through there. Also, you can keep up with me through my website, preachchristministries.org. We have merchandise. We have content. There's a lot of ways and a lot of things you could tap into. I'm about to go live right now on my YouTube channel and my Instagram and my Facebook.
Make sure y'all go over there. After this live, make sure y'all go over there.
Definitely. It's my Tuesday talk. I do a Tuesday talk every Tuesday. And these are really, really, really good, really necessary. So you'll be blessed by it. You'll definitely be blessed by it.
I'm gonna slide through and I won't be on live.
Hey, Come on, that's because your lives be 1,000, 60,000, 100 people. No, I'm messing with you. All right, family. I'll see you guys.
Thank yes. you so much. Thank you for sharing your testimony too.
Absolutely.
Powerful. Yes, powerful.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro.
Okay, so Owen, Shavonda, any last thoughts? And then you can tell people how to follow you.
Yeah. You know, my final thoughts is go slow. Take your time. Yeah. Wait on the Holy Ghost. Don't go too fast. He'll preserve you of a lot of embarrassment. He'll preserve you of a lot of backtracking. Just go slow. I think sometimes in the culture that we're in, when we make that post of, oh, I'm dating, oh, I'm engaged, oh, I'm, you know, then we feel like I done gone too far, so I got to make it work now. It's like, just go slow, you know, don't be so quick to jump online and say, I'm who I'm dating, you know, check out with the Holy Ghost, take your time.
Yeah, that's something that Dr. Medina always says to me. You don't got to let anybody know who you dating. Don't
That's so. The truth.
Go slow. Because I think sometimes really people are honestly in relationships for the sake of embarrassment.
Yeah.
They don't want to be embarrassed. They know inside something ain't right, but I done told people asking me when the wedding, can I be in your wedding, and all of these things, this pressure.
There. Done that.
You know what I mean? And so you feel like you locked in, and it's like, just slow up, come off, you know, keep that relationship submitted to the will and plan and purpose of God, so that if God does redirect your life, you can make that turn and it's not so chaotic.
Right.
And then I'm Onesimus W on all social media platforms. Listen, y'all too tonight, y'all bless me. I think this went phenomenal. Just sharing the testimonies. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Sometimes, you know, it's not a question or an answer. Sometimes it's a testimony that brings people their answer and their freedom. And, you know, this really came up to me about a month ago. The Lord was dealing with me. You are somebody's answer.
Yeah.
And I think tonight, the both of you sharing, you guys were somebody's answer tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing like a live testimony. That's just like sharing Jesus. You know, people can argue religion all day. They can't argue your testimony, because that it's real. It's life. And I just wanted just to acknowledge those testimonies were so powerful, so life changing. And the grace of God, the love of God, how good God is. He's so mindful of us. You can't never mess up the plan of God. Even when we trip, when our heart is right before the Lord, He knows how to do that GPS reroute. And I love it.
Absolutely. And I would just say, listen, singleness is not a curse. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
You just have to learn how to embrace it in its fullness. I'm going to read this scriptures, Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to the levels of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That is Romans 12, 1 and 2. So this is your charge on tonight as singles. Take your everyday, ordinary life and offer it up as a sacrifice unto the Lord. Draw closer to Him. Those are the moments that when you find the beauty of who God is, it can't be taken away from you. Those impartations, the prayer, the fasting, it's all building something greater in you. And I'll tell you this, you heard powerful testimonies tonight about people who love the Lord, who had every intention of doing things God's way, and they messed up, right? So if you find yourself in that situation, know that God is a restorer. He is a restorer. He will restore you. And don't live in a place of condemnation, because yeah. God has not condemned you. God loves you with the everlasting love. And it doesn't matter what you've done. Repentance is here. It's available. And once you repent, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. You turn back to your first love, draw closer to him, come running to him, and don't get so bogged down by the mistakes that you've made. We all make them. We are all living witnesses about God's grace and mercy. And so just be encouraged and know that if there is a person that's out there for you, God knows all things. He tells us, he gives us intel according to what we need to know on a need to know basis. But right. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he will not leave you disappointed ever. That's so good. That's good. All I want to share with you all tonight. You can reach out to me. I'm on Shavonda Dixon or Shavonda R. Dixon on Facebook. I am Shavonda Dixon on Instagram. I also started SOAR, which is Singles on a Rise. It's a singles group for Christians where we just come together. We talked about accountability a lot tonight. And it's a place where singles, Christian singles, can come together with like-minded believers for accountability. Just and to just be, right? So just, you know, we don't want to, you know, all the time. We don't want to be in the hookah joints. We don't want to be doing those things that the world is doing. We're creating our own culture. Yeah. We're creating a place where we can come together and function. So if you're interested in joining that, I have a private group on Facebook called The SOAR Tribe. And also I'll make sure that I enter my information. I have a website as well. Where you all can stay connected. And we have up and coming events. In Richmond, we have something that we do every single month where the singles can come together and just chill and, you know.
And it's 5-star, y'all. Like, it's not like no rinky-dink events. It's, like, nice. Yeah, like, finest restaurants. It's a vibe.
Yeah, we do a lot, you know. I believe in a spirit of excellence. And, you know, I wanted to meet a need, you know, as single people sometimes, especially in the church, there are unfortunately not a lot of opportunities for us to be social and to just have fun in a godly way and still be human, right? Not deep and, you know, speaking in tongues, where I believe there's a place for all that, but just to joke and to be somebody in spades, you know? So that's what that's about. And my actual website will be live very shortly, ShavondaDixon.com. I'm super excited about that. So if you wanna stay connected with me, you can reach out to me there. And then last but certainly not least, YouTube, you can reach me at Shavonda R. Dixon. So I'll be glad to connect with you and to build with you and to...
Not the devil on here with the profanity in the comments.
Boy. I missed that.
Yeah, it's real vulgar. Oh, do you mind praying us out? I think that was enough for me.
Yeah, I saw that too. I want to say first before we pray, thank you so much, Q, for doing this.
Yes.
You know, I tell you this all the time. You are really called for such a time as this. Yes. Friend, not to gas you up, but I just got to give
do
you
it. Do it. She deserves it.
I got
it.
To give you your flowers because one thing that I've seen from the day I met you was the integrity. Yeah. And let me tell you, the integrity to the word of God, you ain't no sellout. Let me tell you. Q be serious about this thing on this platform. She don't be playing with this platform. This her baby. She's praying about it. She's praying who to bring on. You know, she done, you know, I'm going to just put this little bit out there. She done turned people down. Listen. Like, no, not them. I don't get them in my spirit. Yeah. Kid, be quick. Like, I had a dream about them. No, my discernment. They ain't got the right spirit. And God is looking for people like that in this generation. And I love it when Elijah said, you know, he said, Lord, I'm the only one. And he said, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed.
That scripture earlier.
And so, I'm just so grateful for Kwanda, and I need a word because she's one of them 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And sis, I celebrate you for that. I celebrate your integrity and your heart for God, and just allowing, you know, this platform for people to really get the help they need. You know, nobody's condoning sin. Ain't nobody condoning living wild. And, you know, because right. you know, now they tell you just do whatever, but you're really concerned about people's soul and being saved. Because at the end of the day, y'all, we got to make it in. We got to make it in.
I'm glad you said that because I agree with you 1,000%. You know, when people say ain't nobody doing that, ain't nobody living right, the devil's a liar. And so for you to bring us on here together and to have such a platform where people can be transparent, and I believe that chains were broken tonight. I believe that, you know, that the enemy was defeated. And Kwanda, you already know how I feel about you. I'm a huge fan, but I'm also a proud sister.
We're not fans. You're my
sister. For real. And I don't. And people will tell you I don't fool with nobody. And that's just real, because you have to be careful. You have to be sensitive about who you're connected with. But I thank God that God just connected us. And I'm very excited about God, what God is doing in your life in this season. And not just in this season, but the things that you're doing now are going to be there generations after you.
Thank you.
And what a tremendous blessing to be a part of that foundation. And so just know that you have a remnant that's rooting for you.
Thank you.
You have a remnant that's rooting for you. For sure.
I appreciate that, because there's some days where I'm just like, God, I don't know how much I can do of this. You know what I mean? This is a lot. This is a weighty thing.
Yeah.
But I know you assigned me for the task. So I appreciate the encouragement.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes I think this too. Sometimes I don't think we realize the spiritual warfare and the tremendous shaking that we cause in hell when we have moments like this.
Yeah. Well,
You don't know how that disrupts darkness. Satan could have been working on somebody for 20 years, and just in a moment, the anointing can break and destroy that yoke. So the enemy is not happy about that. Yeah. But let me tell you, Q, we are behind you 1,000%. We speak in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, over your business, over your ministry, over your spirit, soul, and body. We stand watch in the spirit, and we decree no backlash, no demonic activity that's surrounding you, negative words. We speak the peace of God, the life of God in you. You was built for this moment. You was built for this hour. You were created to handle this, and the weight is not too great, because the Bible said his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He's giving you an anointing to do this. Yes. And so we celebrate that anointing. We stir up the gift of God that is in you to handle this. You are equipped for this moment and this time and this season. And just like every one of us, God has given us an assignment. We can't quit. Y'all, we cannot quit. The enemy is banking on us quitting. The only way he wins is if the church quits. That's what the church don't realize. The Bible says in Thessalonians, we withhold him. We withhold the spirit of Antichrist. He can't even come before his time because the church is still here.
Come on.
And so it's important for the church to rise up, because we hold back the forces of darkness. Every time you pray, every time you put a scripture out there, every time you put a message out there, you're holding back the force of darkness so somebody can be delivered. Somebody can be saved. Somebody can be set free. So listen, let me set up, because we'll be on that. We're going to start a prayer service. I feel like something's trying to rise up.
I just want to say this. It's working.
It's working.
It's working. You are gaining territory.
Yes.
It's working. Continue pushing forward. Continue with the vision. Run with the vision, because it's working. I promise you. Hell is disturbed.
Disturbed.
Jesus.
They disturbed. Big and can't do nothing about it.
Can't do nothing about it.
They have no power. They can't. We see the enemy has no power, right? But what he wants us to do is forfeit.
Exactly.
Jesus. Yeah.
That's it.
He wants us to give up.
That's all he's banking on.
Yeah.
We got to quit. The only way he wins is if we quit.
Jesus.
But that's the devil's only life. Way he wins. And we just have to be equipped to say, not on my watch.
Not on my watch.
Not on my watch. Wow.
Not on my watch. Not to my brother, not to my sister.
No.
Not on my watch. It's not happening. Mm-mm. Enough is enough. Period.
Period. I hope y'all getting these nuggets. It's not just for me, y'all. Take them. Take them.
Yes.
And we all need the encouragement.
Amen.
So we still need to pray out.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Because I know this song. Yeah. I'm out of you. Go ahead.
Listen.
It's on you.
Listen.
So.
Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. We thank you for this time and this season. Father, we thank you for the Spirit of God that's been sent here to help us. And so, Holy Ghost, we yield to you. We yield to your ministry in our lives. We yield to that anointing that abides on the inside of us, that keeps us, that protects us, that watches us, that shields us, that surrounds us, that elevates us, that's pushing us, that's accelerating us. And so, Father, we thank you not just for this a season, but for every assignment that you've given us. And we thank you for the weight. Of your glory resting upon us to handle this assignment. Yes, we thank you, Father, for the graces of God being multiplied in us. We stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of us to run our race and to finish our course. And for those that are weary and heavy laden, it's the grace of God that causes us to rest in ease. And so, Father, we put on that grace today that we may do everything you called us to do, for we've been sent into the kingdom for such a time as this, for such an hour as this, for such a moment as this. We could have been born in any other century, any other time, but you ordained and you marked out eternity and you set us in time for this time. And so, Father, we take our place in this season. We take our place in this hour and we do what you called us to do. Thank you, Father, for the faith of God. The Bible said, Jesus told Peter, he said, I'm praying that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. So we plead the blood of Jesus tonight and we decree that our faith will not fail. Our faith will not fall. Our faith will not back down. Our faith is in your character and in what you said. And you're not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you've got to repent. But Father, everything you said about us, you will do it. And the angels are here to help us and to escort us and to get us through to the next place. Yes, and so we call on the angels of the Lord right now in Jesus' name to assist us. The angels of the Lord excel in strength. Do battle for us, just like the angels helped Daniel in his praying to come out of captivity. Yes, we pray in the name of Jesus that the angels are surrounding us. Angels are being sent on assignment to help us get to that next place that we ought to be. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We will not stop. We will not be back down.
Yes,
we pray for the body of Christ today that she's strong, she's strengthened. Yes, the body of Christ is standing up. The body of Christ is being emboldened tonight in Jesus' name to do what you've sent us into the earth to do. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let me stop right there because I feel them tongues rising up. And
Amen.
Let me tell y'all, we're in an hour. We were born for this time.
You were
born for this time. Yeah. You could have been born in 1876.
Right.
You could have been born on the backside of somebody's slave house. You could have, but God marked out eternity for you to be born at this time. And when he sent you into the earth, he sent you into the earth with an assignment. You are the answer that this generation needs. You are the answer that the people at this time, your neighbor, your coworkers, your career, some of y'all went to school for something. You ain't even in that career, but God knew where you was going to be is where